Would you turn in your Bibles this evening to Ruth chapter 4? We've had the luxury at Prosperity ARP Church to be going through the book of Ruth. And so we're coming into the end of the chapter now, and it's a familiar book, so I'll try to catch you up to where we are. As you know, Ruth was married to Elimelech. They lived in Bethlehem. But a famine had come into Bethlehem, and they had left Bethlehem to go into Moab. And Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and these sons married Moabite women. And as time went by, Elimelech died, and Mahlon died, and Chilion died, and Naomi was left with her daughters-in-law and very sorrowful. And she began to go home, and she told her daughters-in-law to go back to their father's house that they might find husbands there. As you know, they both protested, but Orpah got talked into it, but Ruth would not. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So Ruth and Naomi traveled back to Bethlehem because they had heard the Lord had sent bread there. And when they entered town, they said, "There's Naomi," which means blessed one. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Mara, you may recall, means bitter. She said, "Because I had gone away full. I had a husband and I had sons, and now I am a widow with no sons and no husband. My life is bitter." And she was full of sorrow and full of sadness and bitter in spirit. The next morning, or soon thereafter, Ruth went to glean for food, these two poor women, and she found herself in the providence of God in the field of Boaz. And Boaz had heard some word of Ruth and heard how she had been so faithful to her mother-in-law. And he was tender to her, and he had protected her and told the young men to actually take some of the stalks out of the stack and make her life of gleaning much easier. And he spoke sweetly to her at mealtime and was very gracious to her. And when she brought many gleanings home that evening to Naomi, Naomi said, "Oh my goodness, daughter, where did you glean?" And it was in the field of Boaz, and she knew that he was one of the nearest kinsmen redeemers, which is a theme in the book of Ruth, kinsmen redeemer. So Naomi had it in her mind to sort of set the two up, and Ruth chapter 3, as scandalous as it is in English, is even more scandalous in Hebrew, where she dressed her daughter-in-law up and perfumed her and said, "Go to the threshing floor where Boaz is at night and lay down beside him and he'll tell you what to do." And she did that. And she said, "Cover me with a corner of your garment." And Boaz, being a godly man, was very faithful to the Lord and all these things, and gave her some grain in the morning and sent her on her way and let it not be known that a woman came to a threshing floor. But he said in his mind from that point forward to do everything he could to be a kinsman redeemer, and to be a husband to Ruth, and to redeem everything that had been lost through the death of Elimelech. And now we jump into chapter 4, which is where we are tonight. The title of the sermon is Redemption Accomplished. And so as we look at the word, I think we'll see in verses 1 through 10, redemption transacted. A transaction will occur as Boaz gets the deal done in a courtroom scene. To make the purchase and to redeem. And then in verses 11 through 12, we see redemption blessed. The transaction is done, and all the members of the court and all the witnesses there, they pray a blessing upon Boaz. And so you see redemption blessed. And after the redemption blessed, verses 13 through 22, we'll see redemption enjoyed, the joy of redemption. So let us turn our attention to God's word in Ruth chapter 4, to see redemption accomplished. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." And so he went over and sat down. The Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. So if you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, So I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Well, at this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off a sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders of all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead and his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming unto your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David. Here ends the reading of God's most holy word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read your word and you give this glorious account of a rescue, a good and godly man named Boaz, who plays the role of a kinsman redeemer and who points us to our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed us from your word, O Lord. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's really nothing in here about our redemption, but it certainly is a story of redemption, and it's the story of a kinsman redeemer. So let's reflect for a moment before we jump in about our redemption. We as Christians are redeemed, aren't we? When we say we're redeemed, that means we've been bought, have we not? A price was paid, isn't it true? And what was the price? Well, the price, as you well know, was the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross. That was the mighty price, the death of our Savior, that we might be bought, that we might be freed. We have a Redeemer as Christians. His name is Jesus. We have been redeemed. That is to say, we have been purchased. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus, have we not? It's true, isn't it? And you think about it. When you think of a redemption, you have someone who's buying something and paying for something, and someone benefits from the price that's been paid, and someone receives the payment. Well, certainly the one who paid the price is our Redeemer, it's Jesus, that's obvious. The price that was paid, that's clear to us, it was himself upon the cross, but to whom did he pay the price? Well, some would say it was the devil. Some would say the devil had us right where he wanted us, that we had sinned and he had his grip on us and we were going to hell and we've been bought back. But that's really not the teachings of Scripture, is it? No, the death and the payment was a propitiation, wasn't it? Because God is a holy God and our sins must be paid for. His blood was spilt to pay the price of God's wrath, which we are due. Well, there's redemption transacted, redemption blessed, and redemption enjoyed. And I want us to see it tonight in the book of Ruth. First of all, then, redemption transacted. It's in verses 1 through 10. We jump right in, and Boaz is dead set on getting this thing done. And I want you to understand right off the bat that this redemption is an unselfish, self-sacrificing payment of price. It becomes obvious as you read through it, because we have the buyers. There's the one first in line, and then there's Boaz, who's really next in line. We have the purchase, that which is being bought. We found out that Naomi has land for sale. Well, it could be that Naomi had this land for sale, and being a widow, she needed to sell it so she could live. It could very well have been that this land was Elimelech's and that he had sold it before he went off into Moab. Now, in the days of Israel, when you sold land, you never really sold it forever. The best you could do is sell it for 50 years. Because on the year of Jubilee, the land came back to the family. And so if it was that Elimelech had sold the land, it may have been time to redeem it back. Or it could be that Naomi was just wanting to sell some land to have some money. Either way, there's land to sell. And so we have the purchase, which is the land, and we have the price. Now, the price gets very interesting, doesn't it? Because right off the bat, we have two buyers, and the buyer number two is Boaz, whom we know very well, and buyer number one, according to the Hebrew, is Peloni Almoni. Well, that's what the Hebrew says. Now, the fellow's name is not Peloni Almoni. It turns out that in Hebrew, when you want to say Joe Schmo or John Doe or so-and-so, you would say Peloni Almoni. And so we're not given the man's name, but there is one close enough who has the right of redemption, and he's called Peloni Almoni, Joe Schmo. And Boaz says, it's your right to redeem it. Here's the price, here's the land. And he says, oh, I'm in. I want to buy the land. And here's the thinking of the man. If he redeems it, and time goes by, and Naomi dies, it becomes his because he's next of kin. And if he buys it, he gets to plant crops on it and make investment and make money. It's a win-win deal for Peloni Almoni. But then Boaz drops the other shoe. He says, well, I see you're ready to buy it, but you should know that there's also the deal with the Moabitess, the Canaanite woman. The day you buy it, you also acquire her as a wife, and according to our laws of the land, you have to take her as a wife, and then she'll have a son, and then the son gets the land, not you. That's the way it works, you see. And so all of a sudden, Peloni Almoni is not interested anymore. He said, whoa, that's going to endanger my inheritance, because when Naomi dies, he didn't get the land. The child born to Ruth gets the land in the name of Elimelech, and the name of Elimelech continues. So understand this. The price that has to be paid is an unselfish, self-sacrificing price. There's no real profit for the buyer. Do you understand the point? And that is the beauty of the picture of the redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Because it's an unselfish price that's paid. And we are the ones that benefit. There's really no profit in it from his perspective. It's only the wrath of the Father in heaven. And then we profit from it as we become his bride. It's an unselfish purchase price. I know a young man that he goes to a church, and he found out that church needed a new air conditioner. The thing was on its last leg. And he had put it in his mind that he was going to help that church out and pay the price for getting it fixed right. He had set aside a certain amount of money, and it was no small fund, to pay the price. And as he interacted with the elders and the deacons, he didn't let them know he was willing to put the whole bill. He wanted not to let the right hand know what the left hand was doing. And as time went by, he could never get them to see that they ought to do the right thing. They just wanted to milk it on for another day. He said, well, you know, maybe you ought to just go ahead and fix it right. And they had no time for him. And he was troubled in spirit as he walked away. He wasn't going to get to make this purchase. And as time went by, and it was just a few days later, he came across a woman at the coworker that he barely knew, and her car had been broken into, and her computer had been stolen. And she was suffering a great loss. And so he secretly bought her a brand new computer with the money he had set aside. No profit to himself. Self-sacrificingly paid a price so that someone else would benefit. And of course, she was amazed and relieved as everything had been restored by some stranger. That's the point. The purchase price here was a self-sacrificing price. The Redeemer who was closest was much willing to do it if he thought he was going to get the benefit. But as soon as he saw that Ruth was going to have a son by him and Elimelech's name would be the inheritance, he wasn't interested anymore. And Boaz knew that was likely going to be the case. And so we see the transaction completed. It turns out in those days you took off your sandal, which I always thought that was sort of interesting. Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions. So the nearest one said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he took off his sandal. And the transaction was complete. Well, we have redemption transacted. I want you to see now redemption blessed. Look at verses 11 through 12. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. It was a courtroom scene. It was as if you had gone up to the courthouse to buy a piece of land, and the judge probate come along and stamped the deed and gave it to you. The deal's done. The check's been written. And everybody in the courthouse says, it's time for prayer. The judge gets down on his knees. All the bystanders, they all get down and pray. And they say, may the thing you bought be a blessing to you. That's what happened here. Notice right off in verse 11, the elders and all those at the gate said. It was the elders and all the people. They all are praying a blessing to Boaz. They're blessing the kinsman redeemer. Don't miss that point. I want to come back to it. They are blessing the redeemer. Now, the blessing is interesting all by itself, isn't it? May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah. Do you remember who Rachel and Leah were? They were the wives of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to, that's right, Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. You may recall that Jacob went looking for a wife and he labored for 7 years because he set his eyes on Rachel and she's this beautiful looking woman. And on the day of his wedding, he'd been tricked by his father-in-law and he ended up with Leah. And according to the Hebrew, her eyes were sad. Where apparently we're supposed to understand she wasn't as pretty as Rachel. You know, the rabbis tell us that, and this we don't know this for true, but they say that Laban had always thought Leah would marry the older brother Esau and Rachel would marry the younger brother Jacob, and Leah was always sad because she didn't like the idea of marrying Esau. Well, don't know if that's right or not, but that'd make you sad, think you had to marry a guy like that. But Daddy tricked him, and he ended up with Leah, had to labor for another group of years, and finally got Rachel. And the whole tribe of Israel will come from Jacob's wives. He had more than just those two. But the whole tribe of Israel comes out of that. The point of this prayer is this. May it be such a blessing, Boaz, you kinsman redeemer. May it be like Rachel and Leah. And what they're saying is, may you have babies left and right. If you go to Genesis and read about Rachel and Leah, you see babies being born left and babies being born right. So they're saying, may you have a bunch of babies. That's the blessing. That's the prayer. Who together built up the house of Israel, and may you have standing in Ephrathah. May you be famous. May your name be known throughout all of time. Now let me ask you a question. It's 2015. Anybody know the name of the man who married Ruth way back then in the days of Judges? Boaz. Looks like that prayer got answered. Pretty famous. May you become famous in all of Bethlehem. And then here's a very interesting blessing. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Now there's a seedy story. And it's in Genesis 38. And I'm going to do the best I can to tell it to you without getting as seedy as the Bible gets it. I encourage you to go home and read it tonight. But here's the deal with Judah and Tamar. First of all, Tamar was a Canaanite woman. Ruth is a Moabitess. There are some similarities here. Judah had a boy, and his son married this Canaanite woman named Tamar. Now, as time went by, the son died. In those days, the next son in line would marry the widow to carry on the name. And so the next son married Tamar, but he didn't want to do his levirate duty. And he didn't do what God wanted him to do, so God struck him dead too. So now Judah's got two dead boys, and he's got another boy. And he tells Tamar, well, he's kind of young. When he grows up, we'll let him marry you then. All along, he didn't really want to do it because he was afraid he was going to lose that one too. Well, the boy grew up, and as time went by, Judah's wife died, and he went into the city, and he wanted, I don't know how else to say it. He wanted to have relations with a prostitute. And Tamar caught wind of this, and she went and put a veil on her face and pretended to be one. And she lay with Judah and became pregnant. Now, he thought he was with a prostitute, and he said, I don't really have a sheep. She said, well, just give me your staff and your seal, and you can come back tomorrow with a sheep, and we'll make the payment. Well, he came back the next day looking for this prostitute, and she wasn't anywhere to be found. She'd done headed home with a staff and seal. As months went by, it becomes obvious that Tamar's pregnant. Judah's ready to stone her. You've obviously had adultery. He said, well, you ought to kill the man too. The man who's the father of the child, this is his staff and this is his seal. Judah became overwhelmed with guilt, knowing that he had not been faithful to give the next son to her. And he said, you've actually been more righteous than me. The bottom line is, Perez was born from that relationship. Between Judah, a son of Abraham, and a Canaanite woman, came a godly man named Perez. And what these people are saying to Boaz is, you're about to marry a Moabite woman. May a son as godly as Perez come from that relationship as well. May you be blessed. Now here's the thing. They prayed that the Redeemer would be blessed. We have a Redeemer, don't we? We often ask the Redeemer to bless us. We long for God to bless us. We, the church, are always begging that God would bless his people. Have we ever prayed that our Redeemer would be blessed by being married to us? Oh, Lord, may you be as happy with us as Boaz was with Ruth. May I live my life in such a way, may I think the way you want me to think. May I say the things you want me to say. May I do the things that please you in such a manner that as you look upon me, you would be as happy with me as Boaz was with Ruth. Might we bless our Redeemer as this Redeemer was blessed. We've seen redemption transacted, and we've seen redemption blessed. And now in verses 13 through 22, we clearly see redemption enjoyed. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. There's great joy. It was so much joy to have babies in that day, much more to have a son. And now this relationship between husband and wife, a boy comes along. And the women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. He will restore your life. This baby, the son of Boaz and Ruth, may he be a restorer of your life and a nourisher of your soul. There are some people in our day who know what it's like to be completely in debt with no way out. To owe money they cannot pay. And to lose sleep over it. And to fret over it. And to wonder, how are they going to get rid of this debt? how am I going to pay this bill? And it's been turned over to the collectors, and now they're calling them at strange hours and harassing them on the phone. And it's grievous and grievous and grievous. And some benefactor comes along and pays the debt. Somehow the debt gets canceled. It wasn't by their ability. They had no ability. But the debt gets canceled. And when they hear of it, that the debt is gone and that the bill collectors are no longer going to call, they have their lives restored. They feel such relief that you can't imagine it. It is as if they have been nourished in their old age. And this, dear friends, is Naomi, because she had lost it all. She had lost her husbands and she had lost her sons, and she had no hope of ever just but barely getting by as a widow in the days of hard times, just barely getting by. And now she has a son-in-law, a godly man, married to her daughter-in-law, who's given her a son, and the baby's on her lap, and they're calling it her son. Her life has been restored. And dear friends, she is enjoying every last second of the redemption. Naomi took the child, and she laid him in her lap and cared for him. And women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Boaz and Ruth enjoyed the child. Naomi enjoys restored life. Naomi enjoys nourishment in her old age. Naomi, who called herself bitter, becomes full again. Mankind enjoys David and enjoys Christ. The purchase is enjoyed. Today's my birthday. Do you know that? I think that's why I always like Thanksgiving. First of all the family would gather and we'd have a big feast, but growing up, there was typically a present hidden somewhere around there. It could very well be that that's why I like Thanksgiving more than any other holiday. I really love it. And this year was not much different. I got gifts again. I do a little air conditioning work on the side. Some of you know that. And I have a toolbox that I carry my troubleshooting tools in, and it's wore out. My screwdriver falls out, and I keep losing it. And my mom and dad got me a new toolbox, just exactly like the one I wanted. And I am looking forward to one night this week taking my old wore out one and my new one and getting all those tools out, making a big mess, and putting them just like I wanted them. I'm going to enjoy that price, that purchase. Naomi and Boaz and Ruth enjoyed what had been bought. Dear friends, look what has been bought for us. Our Redeemer has bought us everlasting life, and we are to enjoy it now. Oh, I know we'll enjoy it then. In everlasting of everlasting, when we walk on the streets of gold with our Redeemer hand in hand and no longer plagued by the sinful nature of our flesh, I look forward to such joys. But dear friends, we've been redeemed now. We have been freed from the bondage of sin now. What a crime it would be to take this freedom and indulge the sinful flesh. And what a joy. What a joy to indulge the freedom of pleasing our Redeemer. This passage really doesn't say much at all about Jesus, but it sure has a lot to say about redemption. How a kinsman redeemer paid an unselfish price to bring freedom to someone else, and how the blessings were prayed and overflowed, and how everyone enjoyed it. And what a beautiful picture that is of our redemption. The transaction upon the cross, when the price was paid and the wrath of God was thwarted away from us. May we be a blessing to Jesus as they prayed a blessing to Boaz. And may we enjoy from here on out the joys of our redemption. Let's sing of our Redeemer.